वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Text 56. Sri Vishnu Parshada.
Sri Vishnu Parshada.
Uchu.
Uchu.
Adya.
Adya.
Etat.
Etat.
Hari Nara,
Hari Nara,
Rupam,
Rupam,
Adbhutam,
Adbhutam,
Te,
Te,
Drishtam,
Drishtam,
Na,
Na,
Sharanada,
Sharanada,
Sarvaloka Sharma,
Sarvaloka Sharma,
Sa,
Sa,
Ayam,
Ayam,
Te, Pidikara,
Pidikara,
Isha,
Isha,
Viprashapta,
Viprashapta,
Tasya,
Tasya,
Idam,
Idam,
Nidanam,
Nidanam,
Anugrahaya,
Anugrahaya,
Vidma,
Vidma,
Sri Vishnu Parshada Uchu.
Sri Vishnu Parshada Uchu.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Soyam te vidikara isha viprashaptas.
Soyam te vidikara isha viprashaptas.
Tasyedam nidanam anugrahaya vidmaha.
Tasyedam nidanam anugrahaya vidmaha.
Sri Vishnu Parshada Uchu.
Sri Vishnu Parshada Uchu.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Soyam Te Vidikara Isha Viprashaptas.
Soyam Te Vidikara Isha.
Tasyedam nidanam anugrahaya vidmaha.
Tasyedam nidanam anugrahaya vidmaha.
Sri Vishnu Parshada Uchu.
Sri Vishnu Parshada Uchu.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Soyam Te Vidikara Isha Viprashaptas.
Soyam Te Vidikara Isha Viprashaptas.
Tasyedam Nidanam Anugrahaya Vidmaha.
Tasyedam Nidanam
Parashada Uchu.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Adbhutam Te.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Drishtam Na Sharanada Sarvaloka Sharma.
Soyam Te Vidikara Isha Viprashaptas.
Soyam Te Vidikara Isha Viprashaptas.
Adyaita Dari Nararupam Anugrahaya
Vidmaha.
Sri Vishnu Prashada Uchu.
Sri Vishnu Prashada Uchu.
Adye Tadari Nararupa Mahutante.
Adye Tadari Nararupa Mahutante.
Shri Vishnu Parshada Uchu. The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Well said. Adya.
Adya.
Today.
Today.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Harinara,
Harinara,
of half lion and half human being.
Of half lion and half human being.
Rupam,
Rupam,
form,
form.
Adbhutam,
Adbhutam,
very wonderful.
Very
wonderful. Te, your,
your.
Drishtam,
Drishtam,
seen,
seen.
Na,
Na,
of us,
of us.
Sharanada,
Sharanada,
the everlasting bestower of shelter.
The everlasting bestower of shelter.
Sarvaloka Sharma,
Sarvaloka Sharma,
which brings good fortune to all the various planets.
Which brings good fortune to all the various planets.
Sa,
Sa,
he,
he.
I am,
this.
Te,
of your lordship.
Vidikara, order carrier. Servant.
Isha,
O Lord.
Viprashaptaha,
being cursed by the Brahmanas. Tasya,
Tasya,
of him.
Of him.
Idam,
Idam,
this.
This.
Nidanam,
Nidanam,
killing.
Killing.
Anugrahaya,
Anugrahaya,
for the special favor.
For the special favor.
Vidmaha,
Vidmaha,
we understand.
We understand.
Translation. The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha offered this prayer. O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, Today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Narsingadev, meant for the good fortune of all the world. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jai who engaged in your service but was cursed by the Brahmanas and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him. Please repeat. The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha offered this prayer. O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Narsingadev, meant for the good fortune of all the worlds. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jai who engaged in your service, but was cursed by Brahmanas, and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu's coming to this earth and acting as the Lord's enemy was prearranged. Jai and Vijay were cursed by the Brahmanas, Sanak, Sanat Kumar, Sanandana, and Sanatana, because Jai and Vijay checked these four Kumaras. The Lord accepted this cursing of his servants and agreed that they would have to go to the material world and would then return to Vaikuntha after serving the term of the curse. Jai and Vijay were very much perturbed, but the Lord advised them to act as enemies, for then they would return after three births. Otherwise, ordinarily, they would have to take seven births. With this authority, Jai and Vijay acted as the Lord's enemies. And now that these two were dead, all the Vishnu Dutas understood that the Lord's killing of Hiranyakashipu was special mercy bestowed upon them. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Narsingadev Slays the King of the Demons. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunamilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The absolute nature of the Lord is glorified in the present prayer by the Lord's associates from Vaikuntha. Jai and Vijay were servants of the Lord, gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. And when the four Kumaras came, the gatekeepers thought that they were not qualified to enter Vaikuntha, and thus they stopped them. The four Kumaras, although they appeared like small children, about 5 years of age, and although they were naked, just like small children sometimes play naked, they were actually very old and wise sages. They were sons of Lord Brahma, created at the dawn of creation. They were among the very first living entities to take birth in the universe. And they were Brahmins. Lord Brahma himself was the first Brahmin, and they were his sons, not only born as Brahmins, but qualified as Brahmins, very learned sages, in full control of their senses, and having all Brahminical qualifications. So they entered the realm of Vaikuntha just like innocent children, without consideration, and suddenly they were stopped by the two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay. And when they were checked by the two gatekeepers, they became very angry, because they didn't want to be checked. And so they cursed Jai and Vijay. They accused Jai and Vijay of themselves being unqualified to be in Vaikuntha and to serve the Lord in Vaikuntha. So Lord Narayan understood the situation at the threshold of Vaikuntha, and he himself came forward, and he spoke in such a gracious way, such a sublime way. He glorified the Brahmins, glorified the four Kumaras who came from the Brahmin class, and said that they were worshipable even by him. And he apologized to them on behalf of his servants who had mistreated them. Of course, Jai and Vijay were the Lord's personal servants, and if he wanted, he could have nullified the curse of the Brahmins, but he chose not to, because there was a larger plan, and that is what is hinted here in this verse. There was a larger plan, and that is that the Lord wanted Jai and Vijay to come into the material world. The Lord is the origin of everything. Janmadiyasayataha. He is that from which, or he from whom, everything emanates. So we also emanate from the Lord. Mame Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are also fragmental parts and parcels of the Lord. And therefore, every quality that we have exists originally in the Lord. But in us, it exists in minute quantity. And in the Lord, it exists in infinity. This is the sublime philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Veda Ved Tattva, that we are inconceivably, simultaneously one and different from the Lord. We are one in quality, we have the same qualities, but different in quantity. Because the Lord is infinite and we are infinitesimal. So, we are tiny samples of the Lord as spirit souls. And if we analyze our own natures as living beings, we can understand something of the Lord's nature. So just as we have the whole range of human sentiments, the Lord also has them, but in their original, pure, transcendental state. And just as we have the propensity to like to fight, the Lord also has. As they children, they like to fight, they like to wrestle. Even Krishna, when he would play with his cowherd boyfriends in the fields, they would wrestle and sport. And sometimes, in the sporting, Krishna and his party would be defeated. And they would have to carry the winners on their shoulders. Even Krishna, he would lose to Balaram's party. And then he and the cowherd boys in his party would have to carry the cowherd boys from the victorious party on their shoulders. And Krishna enjoyed that. Krishna enjoyed that. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is one without a second. No one is equal to him and no one is greater than him. But sometimes he gets tired of being the supreme. Sometimes he wants to be in a subordinate position. Sometimes he wants to be defeated. People are always approaching Krishna with respectful obeisances and prayers. And Srila Prabhupada says sometimes Krishna feels disgusted. People are always worshipping me. Nobody's ever chastising me. But sometimes Krishna wants to be chastised. But who can chastise Krishna? Only a devotee. And therefore Krishna will accept some devotee as a mother, Mother Yashoda, to be chastised. It happens if children misbehave, their mothers chide them. And so Krishna, he took the position of son to Mother Yashoda to be chastised by her. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the whole universe is afraid of Krishna. Even fear personified is afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of the stick of Mother Yashoda. And Queen Kunti, in her prayers, glorified that scene. She was bewildered. How is it that Krishna, who is fearful to the universe, who fear personified is afraid of Krishna, but that same Krishna is afraid of the stick of Mother Yashoda. This scene is bewildering me. So Krishna also wants to experience the full range of emotions, the full range of relationships. But who can be in a superior position to Krishna? No one is actually superior to Krishna, but he allows someone to be in a superior position. And they are pure devotees. They are the ones who have the service of pleasing Krishna by defeating him in play, by chastising him, by criticizing him. It's like the gopis, sometimes they would criticize Krishna in different ways. They would accuse him, and Krishna would enjoy it. That was their service to Krishna, to chide him. And Krishna enjoyed it. So Krishna also wanted to fight. But who could fight with Krishna? Only a pure devotee of Krishna can have the opportunity to fight with Krishna. So the Lord had this desire. The Lord of Vaikuntha had this desire. And Jai and Vijay were such intimate servants, such good devotees, that they understood the Lord's desire. And they thought, well, who will fight with the Lord? He wants some associates to fight with him. But who can fight with him? We are the most qualified to fight with him because we're the gatekeepers. Generally, gatekeepers are very big and strong. They have to keep intruders out. So Jai and Vijay thought, you know, we're the most qualified to fight with the Lord. And so they willingly accepted the Lord's arrangement by which they were cursed by the Brahmins and took birth three times as demons. And thus they satisfied the Lord's desire to fight. So Jai and Vijay are actually great devotees. And they took up the service of fighting with the Lord as demons. And the Lord took pleasure in fighting with them, playing with them, ultimately killing them. But his killing of them was beneficial for them. It was beneficial because they were purified by the touch of the Lord. They were purified, liberated. Anyone who is killed by the Lord is liberated. This morning we heard in the reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. I actually was there for the incident that was described. Srila Prabhupada visited a kshatriya in Amritsar, Baladev Inder Singh. And Baladev Inder Singh had quite a large estate So Prabhupada, and nice, he had like a cows and gardens where he grew vegetables and flowers and a very nice estate. So he was showing Srila Prabhupada around, showing the devotees around. And in his trophy room he had all these like heads of animals that he had killed, and his prize trophy was the head of a lion who was a man-eater. He had actually killed people in a village and eaten them. And so Baladev Indra Singh had gone to Kshatriya to protect the citizens and killed the tiger. Then Srila Prabhupada sat down and Baladev Indra Singh sat at his feet. Very humbly. He's an older person too, at least in his 60s. And he told Srila Prabhupada that he had one anxiety. That one astrologer had told him that in a previous life he had fought on the battlefield of Kurukshetra against Krishna. And he was very disturbed by the thought. And Srila Prabhupada replied that no, that is not possible. Because everyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra who fought against Krishna was killed. And they all were liberated. Even if they weren't directly killed by Krishna, the Bhagavatam describes even those that were killed by Arjuna, because they had the darshan of Krishna, and because Arjuna was acting on behalf of Krishna, they were also liberated, being killed by the arrows of Arjuna. So he said, you don't need to worry about fighting against Krishna, because if you had actually fought against him, you would have been liberated. He wouldn't be in the material world anymore. So that is the absolute nature of Krishna. That anyone who comes in touch with him in any way is benefited and liberated. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says that somehow or other one should fix the mind on Krishna. And by fixing the mind on Krishna, one will be liberated. And Shukadeva Goswami gives the example of the gopis by lust. Of course, their lust was transcendental, but the gopis by lust, Kamsa by fear, Shishupal by envy, the Pandavas by affection, they all were liberated by being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in the form of the personality of Godhead. They all were liberated. So somehow or other fix the mind on Krishna, that's the conclusion. So when even the demons who are inimical to Krishna are liberated by being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and what to speak of the devotees who think of Krishna with love and affection, their result is much greater. The demons generally only get impersonal liberation. Like Shishupal, everyone saw him enter the body of the Lord when he was killed by Krishna. But the devotees, they get the opportunity to serve the Lord and relish pastimes with the Lord in different relationships. So So that is our goal, Krishna consciousness. Yena tena prakarena, somehow or other absorb the mind in Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has given us our whole program just to engage the mind in Krishna, fix the mind on Krishna. There are so many processes of devotional service, and by engaging in only one perfectly, one can achieve perfection. Just like Maharaj Parikshit Shravanam, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam and he became perfect. Shukadeva Goswami Kirtanam, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he became perfect. So by engaging in even just one of the nine processes of devotional service, if one is fully absorbed, one attains perfection. But it's hard to be like Maharaj Parikshit or Shukadeva Goswami, just to sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days without eating or sleeping. So we need variety, and therefore Srila Prabhupada has given us a whole range of variegated activities, all related to Krishna, so that we can fix the mind on Krishna. The morning program, Mangalarati, and Shringa prayers, Tulsi Puja, chanting Japa, and we have Darshan, Arati, Guru Puja, Srimad Bhagavatam class, then Prasadam, and then a whole variety of services related to Krishna consciousness. Now, many devotees, householders, they work. So how can they be Krishna conscious when they work? That's a good question. It's easy when you're cooking for the deity, offering arati to the deity to see the connection, or distributing books about Krishna, telling people about Krishna. It's easy to see the connection, but if we're working, what's the connection? We might feel like we're just working for ourselves. The connection is, if one actually has the consciousness of working for Krishna and is working for Krishna. When Alfred Ford, the great grandson of Henry Ford, he came to Bombay with Srila Prabhupada. I'd never seen him before. He was dressed in saffron. And when Srila Prabhupada arrived at his apartment building in Jugu, this young man in saffron stayed down and was taking the suitcases out of the trunk of the car. Eventually I asked, who's the new one here? That's Ambarish Das, Alfred Ford. So Ambarish Prabhu stayed in Juhu for some time with Srila Prabhupada, and then just before he was ready to leave, he came to meet Srila Prabhupada to discuss his future. And Srila Prabhupada told him that he wanted him to work, because he wanted people to know that one could be a devotee and at the same time be responsible like any other person. Of course, then almost all of the devotees lived in the temples. There were hardly any examples of devotees who worked outside of ISKCON. But especially in the case of Ambarish Prabhu, because he was so prominent, from such a prominent family, he wanted him to show an example that one can be a devotee, one can be Krishna conscious, and at the same time work. So Ambarish asked if he had to work in the Ford Motor Company, in the family business. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, any work doesn't necessarily have to be in the Ford Motor Company. And then Ambarish asked, well, what about my association? What will I do for association? And Srila Prabhupada said that while you're working, if you're thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna, that will be your association. And in the Bhagavad Gita, also there's a similar verse. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that if one thinks that I've been appointed to do this work by Krishna, and I'm doing this work for Krishna, to please Krishna, then that is Krishna consciousness. You're thinking of Krishna. So when we work, we should think that we're doing this for Krishna, and we should be doing it for Krishna. Doing it for Krishna means that we, of course, on one level, we're setting an example of being responsible grihasthas. But on another level, we're using the money to serve Krishna. Whatever we require to keep the body and soul together to serve Krishna, we have to take. Even the brahmacharis in the temple, they have to keep the body and soul together. They need food, clothing, shelter. They need the minimum necessities to keep the body and soul together. And then whatever extra is used to preach Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness. So if we live in that spirit to please Krishna, then whatever work we do, it doesn't even really matter, but we can be Krishna conscious when we do it. We find among the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very different examples. We find, for example, the six Goswamis. They came from aristocratic families, wealthy families, but they gave up everything to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Rai, he was a governor, but he remained as a governor for some time. And even when he came to Jagannath Puri, he lived in a very opulent position. So once Srila Prabhupada was considering this question that Rupa Goswami gave up everything, he was living as a mendicant, and Ramananda Rai was living as a government officer in great opulence. So what is the position? It's like one seemed like bhoga and the other seemed like tyaga. What is the position? So he asked his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and his Guru Maharaj gave a very beautiful answer with reference to a wife. In Vedic culture, or in, of course, in Krishna Lila, there's a phrase, Svadin Bratrika, which means the position of the wife or the woman when the husband is away. She dresses very plainly. She doesn't decorate herself. She doesn't do up her hair. She doesn't make herself attractive. And she lives very simply. She just sleep on the floor, sleep on a mat on the floor. And she'll live very austerely when the husband is away. Almost like Vishnu Priya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and took sannyas. But then when the husband returns, the same wife will bathe, she'll put on oils and dress very nicely, ornament herself, decorate herself to please the husband. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that in both conditions, you could say in the condition of tiag when the husband was away and in the position of bhoga when the husband returned, in the condition of living very austerely and simply and in the condition of dressing very nicely and living very nicely, the goal was the same, to please the husband. Whether it was renouncing facilities, the purpose was to please the husband, or whether it was accepting various facilities, the purpose was to please the husband. So on the absolute platform, the devotee has only one purpose, which is to please Krishna. And if it's favorable to serve Krishna, he may live very simply, very austerely. And if it's favorable to live, to Krishna's service, to Krishna's pleasure, he may accept an opulent position. But the only purpose is to please Krishna, and there's no material attachment. And that is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Anasattasya Vishaya. The first condition, Anasattasya, without attachment. Anasattasya Vishaya, to the objects of the senses. One accepts whatever is favorable for Krishna's service and uses it in Krishna's service, but without attachment. Because the attachment is to Krishna and to serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. Therefore, the devotee is detached. He might live in an opulent palace or he might live in a straw hut. It's like when Srila Prabhupada first moved onto the land in Mayapur, he lived in a grass hut. And when the devotees built the first building in Mayapur, which Prabhupada called a marble palace. It did have a lot of marble, very big verandas, marble verandas, arches. And so Prabhupada said, I don't want to move there. I'm happy in my hut. I prefer my hut. You all can move there. I will stay here. And the devotees were giving different arguments, but nothing affected Srila Prabhupada. He said, my hut is in the mode of goodness, that palace is in the mode of passion. I prefer the mode of goodness. You all stay in the palace. But then finally, one devotee came up with the right reason for Prabhupada to move. He said, but Srila Prabhupada, if you stay here, people won't come to hear you speak about Krishna. They'll miss the chance to become Krishna conscious, but if you stay there, there'll be more facility, they'll feel more comfortable, they'll come and hear you, and they'll get the chance to become Krishna conscious. Then Prabhupada said, all right, for the sake of preaching, I can move. But for my own sake, I prefer the grasshopper. So that is the principle, to do whatever is favorable for Krishna's pleasure. And it may take different forms externally, but internally we should be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says, yinatena prakarena, somehow or other fix the mind on Krishna. Whatever position you are in, varna and ashram, it doesn't matter. But somehow or other fix the mind on Krishna. But for us, the chanting of 16 rounds and following the regulative principles, that's a must. But that's for everyone. Doesn't matter what your position in Varnashram is. But that's for everyone to follow the regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. And follow the morning program in the temple, if possible, that's best. Otherwise, in one's home, follow the morning program. Or if one has to leave early for work, get the children ready for school, so many complications may be there, then in the evening. But one should spend enough time hearing and chanting about Krishna to be able to purify the heart and fix the mind on Krishna. Otherwise, one can become like a karmi, although not in a deep sense, but at least superficially, one can become like a karmi if one doesn't hear and chant enough. And one actually can become like a karmi. So we have to have that balance. You have to have what the devotees used to call the transcendental sandwich. You have the morning program in the morning and the evening program in the evening, and then sandwiched in between are either practical service directly for the mission or indirectly for the mission in terms of one's occupational duty. But if we follow, it's very simple, actually. If we follow, then we can become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. And that's what Srila Prabhupada wants of all of us. That's what our spiritual master wants. And it's possible. We just have to do it. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Dharma Prabhu.
How did Jayant Vijay eventually get back to being Jayant Vijay? Or did they go back to Vaikuntha Goloka, or did they go back to being, after they served their time as the demons, did they end up back as Jayant Vijay again in Vaikuntha?
Yes. The question is, how did Jaya and Vijaya get back to Vaikuntha? Did they go back to Vaikuntha and resume their service as Jaya and Vijaya? The answer is yes. They were killed 3 times by the Lord. First, well, Vijaya was killed by Hiranyaksha, then Jaya was killed by Hiranyakashipu. And then they appeared again as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. They were killed by Lord Ramchandra. And then they appeared again as Shishupal and Dantavakra. They were killed by Krishna. But it said that they appeared again as Jagai and Madhai. And in that life, they in that very lifetime, they became great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So, yes, Rasaraj Prabhu?
I had a couple of questions, Maharaj. First one was, did the four Kumaras get any reactions for cursing Jayanvijaya? Was just doing what was supposed to be. I mean, if small children decide they go to Vaikuntha, I guess it is part of the job description to prevent that. So,
Rasaraj Prabhu was asking whether the four Kumaras got any reaction for cursing the gatekeepers, because they were just trying to do their duty as gatekeepers. Well, they were trying to do their duties, but they didn't do their duties properly. And that was their fault. That was their fault. Sometimes it may happen, and you know, as it said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. One may have good intentions, but if one is ignorant about what to do and what not to do, one may commit a mistake and have to suffer a reaction. So we don't find any evidence that the four Kumaras were considered faulty and had to suffer any reaction. To the contrary, Lord Narayan himself glorified the position of Brahmins, the four Kumaras, and apologized to them for the misbehavior of his servants. So, no.
So my second question follows upon that is, while you're doing your service, especially as a householder, you go out and work, and have all good intentions, you're thinking you're doing this for Krishna, but it could be an abhas, it could be seva abhas, it could be just that you're thinking you're doing this for Krishna, but you're really over-endeavoring it. Or your consciousness is too—it becomes impure by the service that you're thinking you're doing, possibly going the wrong direction. So how do you find out whether you are—you're not going to be directly cursed one way or the other? This was a direct reaction to their inability to do their service correctly. But in our case, you know, it'll probably be a long time before we found out, oh my God, you know, past 10 years I've not been doing this right. So how is that reciprocation? How do you find out you're doing this right?
Rasaraj Prabhu is asking, we may think in our minds that we're working for Krishna, but how do we know if we really are working for Krishna? How do we know if our service is actually favorable to Krishna's pleasure? That is a good question. That is a good question. Because a simple devotee should be free from duplicity. But duplicity is there in conditioned souls, and duplicity is an impediment in pure devotional service. But sometimes we may be duplicitous, but we may not even be conscious of it. Like once, Srila Prabhupada was criticizing the political leaders for like bluffing the innocent public. But from my experience with some of them, I would meet them sometimes. I actually felt they were convinced about the rightness of what they were saying. even though we know what they were saying was wrong, but they were convinced within their minds of the rightness of what they were saying. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, are they like consciously bluffing the people, or they actually believe what they're saying? And Prabhupada just went on and on, they're bluffing the people, innocent people. And then at the end he said, they're bluffing the people, and they bluff themselves also. So it can be like that we're, you know, we're making a show, we're doing it for Krishna, we're working, we're earning money, we're having a nice house, a nice facilities within the house for Krishna, and we may actually believe it ourselves. But is it really for Krishna, or are we indulging in material comforts and sense gratification for ourselves in the guise of Krishna consciousness? Well, here I come back to the point of offenseless chanting of the holy name, attentive chanting of the holy name. Because if we make the effort to really chant and hear, we will detect if our mind is wandering to material things. We'll detect if our life is too complicated, because even in the act of chanting, our mind will be wandering. And it will be wandering onto thoughts of, directly or indirectly, possessing and enjoying and controlling. And at the same time, attentive chanting will cleanse the heart, Cheto Darpano Marjanam. That's the clearing state. So even if there is some vestige of material attachment, by attentive chanting, we'll both become aware of it and we'll become purified of it. Otherwise, it's a very individual thing. You know, what does a person need? Like Prabhupada said, if you need to and you can digest it, you can eat six chapatis. But if you can't digest, you shouldn't have even one chapati. So it's very hard to say how much someone needs. But if you become serious in your effort to become Krishna conscious, and the essence of it is the effort to chant with attention, then you'll realize that, you know, all these complications they're just taking me away from my relationship with the holy name. Now, okay, it's true that if I put in a little more work, I could make some more money. You might think, oh, but is it really worth it? I could just come home early and take rest early, and I could chant better if I wasn't putting so much effort into the work. But then too, there is the, it's just very individual, you know. And there's, you know, Sadhu Shastra and Guru. Like once one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, like, I think he had a job and he wanted to quit his job so that he could chant more. So he asked Prabhupada, you know, what would Krishna prefer? And Prabhupada said, well, what would you prefer? If someone chanted your name all day or gave you $1,200 at the end of the month? But even then, I mean, that's true. That's also true. But in retrospect, one might think, well, Prabhupada knew that he couldn't chant all day any long anyway, so it's better that he worked and did some tangible service. But if someone actually could, like Prabhupada said, if someone could actually hear Srimad Bhagavatam, like Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada said that he, Prabhupada, would drop everything and just speak Srimad Bhagavatam to him. But I think as a rule, we have to find the proper balance. It might not be the same for everyone. And if you're artificially, if you're artificially neglecting something, then you'll feel it. If you're sincere, the whole thing depends on sincerity. If you're artificially neglecting something, you'll feel it. It will even affect your chanting. But generally, you know, if you immerse yourself in the chanting, then the holy name lights up everything. It's like the sun, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. The light of the holy name, the sun of the holy name, lights up everything. And it becomes clear what to do and what not to do. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, nitai gaur prema-namo.
His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj ki
jai,
gaur bhakta-vrinda ki
Yeah,